Our second lesson from Scripture also comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, from Exodus chapter 3, the first 15 verses. Hear the word of the Lord. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to Moses out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus shall you say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Faith journey, sojourners, the spiritual walk, the way. We've talked about journey so much since I've been here. I'm close to breaking out into a rousing rendition of "Don't Stop Believing." Hashtag child of the 80s. What's surprising, even to me, is how basically the whole Bible is about journeying, being equipped for the faith journey, or being called on a journey. What shouldn't surprise me is how often people don't jump on board with journey. Take Moses, for example. Burning bush aside, the shock of the story of Moses being called is lost a little bit without a refresher course on Moses' early days. Moses was born in Egypt. If you finished the Bible challenge of last week, then you know why the Israelites are in Egypt, thanks to Joseph's brothers and the subsequent unfolding of that strange story. Moses was born at the time when the Pharaoh decided that there were too many Israelites, and the best solution to this problem was to kill off any Israelite babies that were boys. So when he was born, his mother hid him away until he was 3 months old. and then sent him down the river in a basket, with his sister watching over him. Of all the people to find him, a daughter of Pharaoh discovered the basket. Essentially, Moses was raised Egyptian royalty. But then when he was older, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own kinsfolk. Thinking no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Later, realizing that others did see him kill the Egyptian, he fled to the wilderness, where he ended up marrying a shepherd's daughter and stayed far from Egypt, especially because he knew Pharaoh found out about the whole thing and wanted Moses dead. Now, cue the theophany. That's one of my favorite theological terms, and I hope to imprint it on you during this interim time. A theophany is like a close encounter of the God kind. For Moses, this happens by way of a burning bush, and the voice of the Lord calls Moses to go back to the same place he had committed murder and to save God's people. You couldn't imagine what must have been going through Moses' mind. God, I'm not sure if you remember this, but they want me dead back in Egypt. That whole murder charge is still hanging over my head. And yet God calls, and Moses answers. Being a community of faith involves this same pattern over and over and over again. God calls, and we answer. Sometimes that answer is very faithful. Here I am, like Moses' first response. Sometimes, though, the answer is a little more like, oh, that's not such a good idea. I'm not very good at that. People probably won't actually believe that this is a call from God. Because while Moses' first response was that declaration, here I am, some of his later responses weren't quite so on board. Still, at least he's paying attention. And more importantly, God presents the call and promises to be with Moses, no matter what excuses he gives. This morning's passage begins. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. A nice factual beginning. Moses, born in Egypt to an Israelite but raised Egyptian royalty, turned murderer and running for his life when the Pharaoh came after him, is shepherding in the lonesome in the wilderness. From the text, we know that Moses is married to Jethro's daughter and is now in charge of his sheep. And he isn't exactly standing on a beautiful, lush mountain with those sheep, though. Mount Horeb means mountain of desolate waste. So here is Moses, an 80-year-old criminal, settled down from being on the run, leading his father-in-law's sheep to a mountainous wasteland. It's not exactly a glorious moment. And there, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. And Moses looks, and the bush is blazing, and yet it is not consumed. And then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. Moses has a classic case of biblical double take. He is walking along perhaps familiar paths, not really paying much attention, when a flame catches his eye and his curiosity gets the best of him. He is not yet aware he is about to experience that grand theophany. In this case, the divine manifestation of God as an angel of the Lord. Something unusual catches his attention, so he checks it out a little further. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And God said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. I'm not sure exactly what Moses was thinking right then, but why am I here in the very presence of God? Surely is crossing his mind. And then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of so many others. The cry of the Israelites has come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them." Moses continues to stand there, quaking, eyes covered, still wondering, "Okay, but why am I here?" And then comes God's answer. "So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And Moses says to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? I am a shepherd. I am beyond middle-aged. I have a wife and sons and a decent life out here in the wilderness. I'm no good at speaking. I ran out of Egypt over 40 years ago, so the Pharaoh couldn't kill me. Who am I to go back and save the Israelites?" And again, God answers Moses' question. He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who has brought you. Who sent you, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." In all the scrambling thoughts of Moses, God speaks out peace. "I will be with you." This later expands into, "I am who I am." God says, "It doesn't matter who you are. It matters only who I am. It doesn't matter who we are. It matters who God is and how we respond." One of the core beliefs of our faith as Reformed Protestants is that before we can reach toward God, God reaches toward us. This is why we have infant baptism, because we don't have to claim God for God to claim us. So, of course, long before Moses chooses God, God chooses Moses, or at least shows up to see how Moses will react. Trudging through the wilderness, Moses notices a burning bush. Was it a giant blaze of flame? Who knows? It doesn't seem to be the fire that catches Moses' full attention anyway. What captures his curiosity is that the bush is on fire, but not consumed. God's spirit is at work in the world, and Moses pays attention. Very few of us experience something as dramatic as a burning bush, but almost all of us have experienced the ways God is persistently present in our lives. Some ongoing theme that keeps cropping up so that you have to look at it a little more closely to better understand what it is God is saying. The PCUSA is a little like that right now. Our newly elected stated clerk is J. Herbert Nelson, and he reflected at the General Assembly, we are not dead. We are alive. We are reforming and are transforming this world one person at a time. When denominations are denying leadership to women, people of color, and the LGBTQ plus community, the PCUSA is electing female co-moderators Denise Anderson and Jan Edmonston. J. Herbert Nelson is our first African-American stated clerk, and Tony De La Rosa is the interim executive director of the Presbyterian Mission Agency. He and his husband, Michael, partners for 8 years, were married in 2015. Friends, there is hope for getting out of Egypt. There is hope for moving away from power structures that devalue us for our statistics and instead value a community of love and acceptance. We are on our way out of Egypt. But we aren't there yet. And in the process, God is still calling us like God called Moses to leadership. So how will we respond? Will we remind God of our shady past? The great I am doesn't care. I have observed the misery of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their sufferings. So come, I will be with you. Did you know Moses was 80 years old? Did you catch that? 80 years old when God called him to help free the Israelites. 80 years young, and there's a burning bush and a voice from God. Think you're too old to share God's love and lead God's people? The great I am doesn't think so. So age cannot be your excuse. Being retired cannot be your excuse. So maybe you feel underskilled, underexperienced. Who am I that I should help? The great I am doesn't care. I will be with you, God says. In the following chapters, Moses makes a number of other excuses as well. And God's response is always the same. Go. Help my people. Free my people. Love my people. Lead my people. Sure, God acquiesces a little, providing Aaron and Miriam and showing off with some pretty great magic tricks. But our Creator sticks with Moses, supports, steadies, and urges him on for blessing all of God's created and beloved children. God's call is there, and a promise as well that God will lead and will be with you and me. Like Moses, it doesn't matter who we are as people, what skills we may have, what's in our past. What matters is that God has work to do, and the Lord, our Lord, the great I am, is calling us to help. Families need to get back on their feet again, and God calls us to action through Allied Drive partners. Safe, secure, and inexpensive homes need to be built, and God calls us to action. People are hungry, and God calls us to feed them. People trying to make ends meet need a food pantry, and God calls us to action. White supremacy is statistically proven in Madison, and God calls us to bridge the gaps in race and class. Self-harm and suicide are on the rise, and God calls us to love others so fully that no one feels alone or worthless enough to drag a knife through one's skin. God is calling. How will we answer? My friend Anna wrote a poetic reflection on Exodus 3. Just when the young have their hectic schedules finalized on their calendars, just when baby boomers have their lives carefully mapped out, just when retirees think, indeed, they have retired, Just when our lives have become routine and settled, and just when we think that we will never hear the voice of God, it happens. Yes, just when we begin to believe that we are who we are and who we will always be, God calls our name, not once, but twice, commanding attention as one might do to a child who hasn't listened. Just when we put on our well-worn bedroom slippers, comfortable and familiar, we hear, "Take off your slippers. You are standing on holy ground." Just when you call our names, O great I am, just as we lean upon you to remove our slippers, forgive our initial fears and excuses. Just when our names are spoken, still echo in our hearts. Just when our feet are bared and our favorite slippers are tossed aside, may our prayers be, when called, that each of us might say, "Here I am." Amen.